This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Live Bet Sunday on Sunday, August 16th, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. August is a month of football. Our first full week of NFL preseason action now in the books. What did we learn? What will it teach us for the 2026 regular season and beyond? And we'll take a big picture, broad view look at the National Football League entering a new year. As we get started here in our second hour with Rich Rebar of Sharp Football Analysis right here on the Progressive Guest Line. Rich, we appreciate the time on this Live Bet Sunday. We were just talking in the break. It feels like Christmas is upcoming. Two more weeks of the preseason, and we're about 25 days or so away from the start of a regular season in the NFL. It is a celebratory time indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all excited when the NFL, you know, comes around. It's a little bittersweet because it means the end of summer, but, you know, as we roll into the fall, we get kind of the sport that we all kind of love. And, you know, now it's going to be taking up over almost our whole week now because we have a bunch of Wednesday games, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. NFL's taken fully over now.
The Wednesday Super Bowl 60 rematch in Seattle between the Seahawks and the Patriots, a Thursday Australian opener in Melbourne between the Rams and the 49ers. We'll talk some week one, but let's talk big picture. Rich, we were just talking in the break. I reside in Los Angeles. It is a year in 2026 that should be a fun one for football in LA. Most notably, those Rams. They are the Super Bowl favorites. They have what on paper feels like the most loaded and talented roster after the blockbuster deal for Myles Garrett, the acquisition of Trent McDuffie, the all-pro corner as well. When you look at the Super Bowl odds and you see the Rams at a plus 550 price as we speak, nearly half the price of everybody else around the National Football League, are the Rams that far in front of the 31 other NFL clubs?
It's easy to see on paper because, you know, as the NFL has gone to, you know, parity has taken over and, you know, things have gotten kind of leveled it out, that this is a team just on paper objectively is the one that stands out based on how they played last year as well. But I mean, this is a team that still has some pulling factors. They are a little older. They have one of the, worst travel schedules too of the NFL. So like there are some ways to kind of see, you know, the just natural kind of regression kind of pull away at them a little bit. Maybe that some things that just don't pop on paper necessarily would say like, all right, just based on talent. But, you know, when you look at them, what they did last year, I mean, they ran pretty pure too on offense. I mean, this was a team that reached the red zone on the highest rate of drive since the 2007 New England Patriots. In terms of, you know, goal to goal scoring, they were one of the best teams in, you know, of the 2000s. So there's just like kind of natural ways to say like, hey, maybe they did run a little bit pure. You know, Matthew Stafford had the highest touchdown rate of his career. Like maybe they just, they're still good, but they just don't necessarily have the same offensive efficiency that they had last year. But on paper, it's really hard to kind of push back against them being the favorites.
Yeah, and you see that plus 550 price. It is a short number. It is Super Bowl expectations for the Rams in 2026. But one of the great things about betting, Rich, of course, is when you have such a short favorite, there just kind of means there's values with longer numbers on the rest of the board. If you were to highlight a team or two that you like their Super Bowl chances in 2026, who do you pick out of the bunch?
Yeah, I mean, one of my wild card teams here, and it's not a wild card team because they've made the playoffs the last 3 years, but a team I think you can catch value on maybe being adjacent to last year's Seattle Seahawks is the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans, where they're valued at, you know, obviously a lot of people look at the way the season ended for CJ Stroud in New England, and I can't defend the way he played in that game, but this is a team that has made a lot of additions to the offensive line. They add David Montgomery. They run a man gap zone scheme. They basically got rid of all their worst offensive linemen in that scheme. David Montgomery was number one in the NFL last year in EPA per rush on man gap runs. We saw how they were doing Joe Mixon the year before that. And the wide receiver unit, if they can keep this unit intact, is pretty good and deep, you know, with Nico Collins at the top, Jaden Higgins in year two, Tank Dell coming back. So Jalen Noel as a wide receiver four, Xavier Hutchinson as wide receiver five. If you were just to say, like, could CJ Stroud still perform on a level of what Sam Darnold gave Seattle last year? Like, I still absolutely believe that. We just need Nick Cayley to kind of push some of those easy buttons that this offense lacked last year. And was it a byproduct of just the injuries at wide receiver and the offensive line? Because this team was at the bottom of the league in play action rate, pre-snap motion rate, and it really put a big ding on CJ Stroud because he was top 10 in the NFL in terms of efficiency when he did get to use those easy buttons, when he used play action, when he used pre-snap motion. So, you know, familiar, we just come off talking about the Raiders where are the Rams where Nick Cayley comes from. And I still want to give him the benefit of the doubt in year two that he still has some of the stuff he learned under Sean McVay and can apply that to a roster that is healthier entering the season. And that defense still has the strength to be the best one in the NFL.
CJ Stroud, the offensive rookie of the year back in 2023, a critical year for him, his long-term future with Houston, what that contract extension, if it is offered, is going to look like. Threw for more than 4,100 yards in his rookie season back in 2023. It feels like that version of CJ Stroud needs to come back out for the Texans here in 2026. But the defense is going to be one of, if not the best, Rich, as you alluded to, in the NFL. It's how the Seahawks won a championship a year ago. You could point to the Broncos. Heck, maybe the Chargers. We mentioned all of the pieces defensively we just brought in Los Angeles, that being the Rams and Myles Garrett and Trent McDuffie. Who do you think, as we get ready for 2026, is going to be the best defense in the National Football League this season?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I don't want to just, you know, take the adjacent fruit that I had. I think it's the Houston Texans. So, I mean, they're at all three levels, pass rush, linebacker, and then defensive back. I mean, they're just so strong at all three levels. That, and then you got D'Amico Ryans, you know, obviously that's his bread and butter from a head coaching stance. So I still believe it's the Houston Texans that is the best defense in the NFL. But health will determine a lot of this for a lot of these teams.
Yeah. Houston plus 110, the favorites to win the AFC South. They did not win it last year. That was the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, of course, the Texans still a playoff team en route to winning 12 games. Rich Rebar joining us here on Live Bet Sunday, getting you ready for a new NFL season, doing great work over at Sharp Football Analysis. Rich, it doesn't have to be to win a division, heck, to even be a conference contender. Is there a team that maybe you stare at their win total that you think will do better than where the odds expectations are entering 2026?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple teams that stand out. I still look at the NFC South. I look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a team that I think just is getting undervalued based on what fell apart for them last year. This is a team whose offensive line is at the bottom of the league in terms of offensive line continuity. You know, Cody Mock missed all but two games. Tristan Wirfs basically missed a month of the season. Ben Bredesen missed a section of time, and they were really in the bag at offensive line. And Baker Mayfield was dealing with, you know, shoulder, hip, knee injuries. They were 6-2 at one point. He was in the MVP running, and the wide receiver unit was all banged up. And now Mecca Egbuka starting the year with this toe injury, but we'll see kind of how the severity of that. And then they're another team, when you look at them defensively, they have some question marks in the secondary, but their front seven, you know, barring they, you know, have this resolution with Vita Vea in the 11th hour here, and they get him on the field, their front seven looks absolutely phenomenal. I feel like they're actually being a little bit undervalued. This is a team I could see just kind of like really, when you look at that division in totality, like them really cleaning up in this division.
Yeah, it's a Buccaneers team. It's been a weird offseason. Baker feels disrespected because he has not received the contract extension. Mike Evans is no longer there after 11 years with Tampa, and of course the trade request from Vita Vea. But at least in the NFC South, the Buccaneers are booked as the favorites at a plus 164 price. Of course, we have already received a meme of this football year from the Falcons NFL preseason opener, and Tua Tagovailoa, where Michael Penix Jr. is pointing at him like, this guy might start in front of me if I am healthy. Yeah, we'll see exactly how that plays out. Rich, we just played a clip from Kevin O'Connell detailing a very small sample size, but Kyler Murray's first preseason start as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. He was named the starter for 2026. The NFC North fascinates me. The Vikings have the longest price to win the division. They have the lowest win total, but it's still 8.5. The over's got a slight bit of juice. We could expect them to be above 500, a 9-8 team. If the team that we think is going to finish in the cellar of a division is 9-8, just how good is the NFC North going to be in 2026?
Yeah, this is a really strong division in terms of, you know, parity and equality. I look at the Packers. They're a little concerning to me. You know, from a fantasy football stance, I'm excited because I believe they're going to have to throw more this year. But the offensive line was really banged up last year, and they didn't really do a lot to address, you know, fortifying the offensive line. We don't know when Micah Parsons is going to be Micah Parsons this year, if he does look like Micah Parsons of old. And, you know, they are rotating it, you know, condensing their wide receiver room. And we don't know if there's still a non-zero chance that Josh Jacobs ends up having another shoe drop in these next couple of weeks. The first little kind of wave of suspensions hit last Friday. You know, could he still be on the next wave of the next couple of weeks here? We saw Rashee Rice. I think he was suspended August 27th last year. So still not completely out of the weeds yet with Josh Jacobs. And he's been banged up and missed a ton of practice, too, this offseason as well. So there's some weird vibes around the Packers. The Vikings are in like this real transition period, but they have a really favorable schedule. It's a defense, obviously, we know that is going to keep them in games. Brian Flores has done a tremendous job, especially when he's had Van Ginkle on the field. It's just going to all come down to where does the marriage come between Kyler Murray and Kevin O'Connell? Because if Kevin O'Connell is asking Kyler Murray to run the Kevin O'Connell offense, I mean, this is just going to be kind of a problem for Kyler Murray. And, you know, Minnesota passers under Kevin O'Connell have been under center for 47% of their snaps. It's the third highest rate in the NFL over the past 4 years. In 2025, they were eighth in the NFL at 45%. You know, playing under center has led to them running a lot more play action, motion. Justin Jefferson, how many times have you seen him just cleaning up on digs on the second level? Well, Kyler Murray for his career has only been under center for 14.7% of his career snaps. Only Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels have lower rates since Kyler entered the league. And because of that, he doesn't use a lot of those easy buttons. And it's because Kyler, it's unfortunate because his physical stature, right? Like, there's just no way around it. He's just not big enough to see the field. And that's why he has really always struggled to throw over the middle of the field. And we saw this last year immediately when he had the toe injury. And whatever you want to refer to as a soft bench or an injury, the Arizona Cardinals completely changed their offense. People forget because the way the season ended for the Cardinals, but when Jacoby Brissett first took over, they were like a really competent team. I mean, they took the Packers to the 11th hour. They took the Colts to the 11th hour.
We have to get to the break, but more work like that at Chart Football Analysis.
Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Right back here on Live Bet Sunday. And again, a thank you to Rich Rebar for joining us in that last segment. You get all of the information. You see all of the knowledge on full display. Sharp Football Analysis for much more like that from Rich and the team there. Sharp Football Analysis, really, really good stuff. That conversation, by the way, continued throughout the break. We were talking about Deshaun Watson playing with the Cleveland Browns this year and what that's going to look like after Watson is the starter in the Browns' preseason debut this past weekend. A lot more football to come. We flip our attention back to Major League Baseball. It has gone final at the Ravine in Los Angeles. The Brew Crew taking down the Los Angeles Dodgers by a final score of 6-2-2. So a 6-2 victory for Milwaukee. A tough weekend for LA, who drops 3 of 4 against the Brewers. Milwaukee now a 3-game lead over Los Angeles in the National League for that top spot. They also are 3 games up on the Atlanta Braves for the top spot in the NL, or in fact, only 2 up on Atlanta because the Braves avoided a sweep today against the D-backs at home. So a 2-game lead for Milwaukee for the number one seed in the eventual NL postseason bracket, 3 games in front of the Dodgers. And they also have the tiebreaker after winning 4 of 7 regular season matchups against Los Angeles. That is going to be big news here down the stretch of this Major League Baseball season. 2.5-game lead for Milwaukee as we update the standing, 77-48 for the Brew Crew, 74-51 is the record for the Dodgers. They're 1/2 game behind the Braves. And LA last year did have to go the wild card route. Beat the Reds in 2 straight in the wild card series before in the NLDS, taking care of business against the Philadelphia Phillies, sweeping in the NLCS, the Milwaukee Brewers. But those 2 series following the wild card round for the Dodgers were on the road. Of course, if you are trying to win 3 straight World Series, if you are trying to do something that only 4 individual teams, 2 separate franchises, and none being from the National League has ever done, that's win 3 straight World Series crowns, you want the best path forward. The Dodgers loaded up this past offseason and at the trade deadline with the acquisition of Tarek Skubal, who started this game, and in his 3 starts now for the Dodgers, LA has dropped 2 of 3. You wanted all of that to have the best path forward for you in Los Angeles. The Dodgers currently would have to host a wild card set. And this year, it's not going to be the Reds. No disrespect to Cincinnati. I bet the Reds win total over last year. They came through for me in earning that wild card spot. No disrespect to Cincinnati. But the wild card teams at this moment in the National League are the Cubs, the Phillies, the D-backs, and the Padres, basically Arizona, Philadelphia, and San Diego, all tied for that third and final spot, or two of those final three when you look at it right now. The Padres continue to be red hot post All-Star break. They are up 4-0 as we speak in the top of the ninth, putting on the finishing touches to the Cleveland Guardians with a victory today. San Diego, after losing 5 of its first 7 after the All-Star break, is going to be 17-5 from that juncture. They've got the best offense in baseball after the All-Star break. I say all of this to highlight what the D-backs are doing, what the Cubbies have done. Of course, the Philadelphia Phillies have maybe the best 1-2 punch, or one of the best 1-2 punches atop a National League rotation. And Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler and Jesus Luzardo come a postseason series. It is not an easy path for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's why today's game against Milwaukee was so critical for LA. I know many of you, unlike me, are not in Los Angeles. I know many of you, unlike me, did not grow up a Dodger fan and root for those in Dodger blue. In fact, you probably actively root against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So you feel zero sympathy, zero empathy. You are probably ridiculing the Dodgers because of what has happened, of course, with their stature in Major League Baseball, especially here in recent weeks following the trade for Tarek Skubal. Well, you can poke some fun at the Dodgers because they have been playing really bad baseball by their standards here in the last few weeks. Everything will be judged by October, but if the Dodgers are going to look like this, what we have seen since the start of the Red Sox series, an offense that is basically 25 points lower in WRC plus than they have been throughout the entirety of the year, a team that committed 3 errors today against Milwaukee, 32 in total since in their last 33 games. They had 33 in the first 92 games. It was the fewest and now the most, respectively, in Major League Baseball. This is going to be a Dodger team that might be ousted early in October, and everybody around the sport, whether you root for them or not, is going to be laughing. That's what we have through our 14 games of the first 15 here on this Sunday in MLB. There is still one more game to go. It starts right now as we speak, basically, or 5 minutes away. First pitch is scheduled on Sunday Night Baseball in Houston. It's the Astros and the Mariners. Minus 119, moneyline price in favor of Houston. They send out Hunter Brown, who has been their de facto ace the last few years. Brown missed a good majority of this season after starting the year in his first 2 starts in the month of March. Came back in the middle of June. He has earned a decision in 4 of his last 5 starts. He is 2-2 in the 10 starts that he has made since returning in June with a 4.25 ERA. Not necessarily ace caliber, but that is where Hunter Brown will be. Brian Wu was a part of a very strong pitching staff last year for Seattle. The same thing was anticipated this season. It has not been the case. Brian Wu, at the end of July, had a 7-8 mark with a 4.56 ERA. He was an all-star last season for Seattle. Looked nothing like that this time around. 12 innings, though, in 2 starts in the month of August. He has not allowed a single earned run, only 6 hits. He has 5 strikeouts to only 1 walk in each of his 2 starts here in the month of August. So the Astros go off as the minus 119 favorite at home today. They enter this game with a 2.5 game lead in the American League West. The Mariners were the favorites to win this division entering the year. Seattle is going to have a very difficult time even sniffing the postseason in the final month unless they make a run. They are only 3 games back of a wild card spot, but it's very jumbled currently in the American League. The Rangers lost today in Sacramento to the Athletics, so it's now a 2.5 game advantage for the Astros. Houston, since the All-Star break, 16-10, third best record among American League teams, also the third best offense via WRC plus with a 110 number in that statistical category since the All-Star break as well. It is one of the reasons that Houston has kind of amplified what they have done in Major League Baseball the last month or so. Sunday Night Baseball in Houston. The Astros minus 119 at close. 7.5 is the total. We will provide those updates throughout this night on Sunday Night Baseball between Houston and Seattle. Still one other game live in Major League Baseball as we speak. It's the San Diego Padres with that 5-0 lead now in Cleveland against the Guardians. Speaking of teams, much like Seattle, heck, even Texas, that have fallen out of American League wildcard favor, that's been the story for Cleveland. They entered this Sunday, a game back, they only entered a half game back. Now they're a full game back after the Orioles win their third straight. They will finish with a fourth and final game tomorrow in Tampa against the Rays. But the Guardians, since the All-Star break, have been the second worst team in Major League Baseball, in danger of falling to a 9-19 record since the All-Star break in the bigs. The only team that has been worse, who is now 8-20, that is the Athletics there in West Sacramento. So it's been a struggle for Guards Ball, who was fighting with the White Sox near the end of the month of July for that top spot in the American League Central. The White Sox, after sweeping the Tigers in Detroit this weekend, have a 5.5 game lead for that first place position in the division. Speaking of the Tigers, following what was a critical home set against the team that is in first in your division when they were playing really good baseball, that being Detroit, even after losing Tarek Skubal, they get swept this weekend. They're a game behind the Orioles for that third and final American League wild card spot. Sunday night baseball fully underway. San Diego leads 5-0 in Cleveland against the Guardians. Those are our final two baseball games on this Sunday to end out the weekend around MLB. Joining us in our fourth and final hour, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 6:30 p.m. here on the Pacific Coast, it will be the man known as Hoops, but now we call him Diamonds. That's Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, to take an early look at the Monday Major League slate around this sport. So as we are here, getting you ready in the month of August, there is plenty NFL talk to come. We just did some with Rich Rebar. We will continue to do some on the other side of the break. We heard from Kevin O'Connell on Kyler Murray's first start in a Vikings uniform. We will go elsewhere around the National Football League following week one of the NFL preseason. And week zero of the college football season is almost here. It's less than 2 weeks away. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and the best bets from VSiN's top analysts. You will also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits with DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It was week one of the preseason. That means we saw a lot of the youngsters around the National Football League. We'll talk offensive rookie of the year odds with some updates following the preseason debuts for many next year on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live Bet Sunday rolls on right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday evening, however you may be. Sirius XM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app. On YouTube TV, you plug us right into the multi-view. Your second screen experience breaking down things maybe as you are watching Sunday night baseball. In Houston, we are underway, and the Seattle Mariners have struck first. They get to Hunter Brown in the top of the first inning. Seattle has taken a 1-0 lead. Had a runner on third, potentially able to do more, and the run was scored by Randy Arozarena, a home run to left center off of Hunter Brown, who allowed a couple of base knocks in the first. Not great. 19 pitches, 12 in the strike zone. Seattle leads 1-0 early. Again, Houston entered as an ever so slight favorite at -119 on that live money line. The Mariners have taken a lead entering the bottom of the first, and Seattle already back as that minus money line favorite, -123. So it's one of the beautiful things about live betting baseball. If you were a believer in Houston and you see the Stros as a slight money line favorite entering this game, and you think Hunter Brown can at least be good for an Astros offense that has been top five this year in Major League Baseball because of Yordan Alvarez, but is getting a little bit of output from basically everybody else post All-Star break, and you think Houston, who was the pregame favorite, albeit trailing by one, but hey, it's still the first inning and The Stros will get last licks, now getting a plus money price. It is plus 107. Pre-game over-under was 7.5. That total up by a run following Seattle and Randy Arozarena striking first. It is now 8.5 live. We will continue to update things there. Our 13th or 14th of 15 Major League Baseball games about to come to a close on this Sunday. The Padres, again, putting those finishing touches on the Guardians in Cleveland. We had a lengthy weather delay in this one. The Padres just a few outs away here on the bottom of the ninth on the road in Cleveland from winning this weekend and taking 17 of their last 22 after they lost a few games post All-Star break. The Padres are going to be in a wild card position. We will update those standings following this win for San Diego, who currently is a half game in front of their divisional mates in the Arizona Diamondbacks, but with this win would get to win 67, tied with the Phillies for what would be that second and third wild card spots. But both teams, the Phils and the Pods, a full game in front of the Arizona Diamondbacks in wild card contention. All right. Elsewhere around the National Football League, preseason week one, 6 games on Thursday, a bunch on Friday, and a ton on your Saturday slate. Maybe you're not the biggest believer in preseason football. I can understand it. It's not the prettiest version of our favorite sport here in the NFL. I love it because I'm a huge college football guy, and you get to see guys that you haven't seen in a few years, or you watch a rookie class of maybe some of your favorite players from the past few years in college football. That was certainly the case on Thursday night in the preseason Raider debut for the first overall pick in Fernando Mendoza. Kirk Cousins played the opening possession for the Raiders, was crystal clean, 5 of 6 for 50 yards and threw a touchdown pass. But Mendoza came out for the next 4 possessions, 4 full possessions, and looked darn good. 10 of 16 for 97 yards, led 2 scoring drives, or at least 1 touchdown drive in what should have been a second field goal scoring possession, and threw his first touchdown pass, a 6-yard strike to Jack Besh in a Raider uniform. Here was Fernando Mendoza following his first preseason game as a Las Vegas Raider and how he thought things went.
It was great. It was great. You know, the first series felt a little sped up, so it was good to come back on the sideline, learn from our mistakes. And then the second series, we were able to score. Third series, you know, I missed a read there. And the fourth series, I thought we had a good thing going. And then, unfortunately, I missed a throw at the end. And then overall, I felt that the group that I was in with, they blocked fantastic. They had great routes. The run game was good. You know, and unfortunately, like, I let my teammates down today. But it's a growing experience, and you know, I feel like we're all growing, and it showed me that I need to grow a lot.
That is just classic Fernando Mendoza. I mentioned that I miss just watching football, right? It was our first game or first time since the end of January 2026, 7 months ago, that we had multiple football games on in the same day. And seeing Fernando Mendoza play, hearing from Mendoza afterward, those are the sound bites that you are going to get if you are a Raider fan and a fan around the National Football League for many years to come. We also saw our first glimpses of Fernando Mendoza. He did not start the game. It was Kirk Cousins. And those in Las Vegas have maintained that is the plan, that Kirk Cousins is going to be the week one starter for the Las Vegas Raiders. He will usher the silver and black into this new era under Clint Kubiak. And maybe sometime down the line, Fernando Mendoza overtakes Kirk Cousins as that starting quarterback. The win total for the Raiders is 5.5. They play in one of the most difficult divisions in the National Football League, that being the AFC West, where the 3 other teams, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Broncos, have a win total at 9.5 or higher entering 2026. Basically all expected to win double digits and be a playoff team, even with the Chiefs coming off a 6-win campaign with a healthy Patrick Mahomes. We know how great that Chiefs team is and certainly can be. I say all of that because I think it's really interesting then when you look at the offensive rookie of the year odds. Basically, in the National Football League or even collegiately, if a quarterback is able to win an award, they often win that hardware. Fernando Mendoza is not the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. In fact, he's a dollar behind the favorite, Jeremiah Love, who he faced off against on Thursday inside Allegiant Stadium. Jeremiah Love, 14 touches, more than 70 total yards. But now first-year head coach in Arizona, Mike LaFleur, saying that Jeremiah Love, with a sore ankle, might have to take some time off. not what you want to see out of the guy you drafted third overall, who is going to be that workhorse. If you're going to draft a running back top three, he better be out there for a long amount of time. Jeremiah Love is the favorite. Carnell Tate alongside Mendoza tied for the second best number at plus 550. Some injuries already for Jordan Tyson as well this year. And Jadarian Price for Seattle, a plus 650 number. Those are the top five. Those are the five guys with triple digits before it drops off to Mekhi Lemon at 14-1. Dejon Stribling really good in his preseason debut for the 49ers on Thursday. 20-1 is that number. But this is a focus on Mendoza because, again, if a quarterback can win an award in football, they often do. 16 of the last 20, including Mendoza last year for Indiana, to win the Heisman Trophy, played the quarterback position. We have not seen an NFL MVP not be a quarterback since Adrian Peterson, did so back in 2012. That is a very long time ago. That is 13 consecutive years a quarterback has won the NFL MVP award, and 18 of the last 19. But only five times in the last decade, so just half, of the Offensive Rookie of the Year award winners have played the quarterback position. Last year, it was Tyroa McMillan for the Carolina Panthers. 2 years prior, back-to-back seasons, C.J. Stroud for the Texans, Jaden Daniels for the Commanders in 2024. So let's take Stroud and Daniels kind of as your sample size. C.J. Stroud led Houston to a 10-win season and a divisional championship in the AFC South. He threw for more than 4,100 yards. Jaden Daniels had a phenomenal rookie campaign. Washington won 12 games, won their first playoff game in nearly two decades. Because when we look at quarterbacks, unlike any other position on a football field, the quarterback is most aligned with a team's success, its win-loss record. That's not always been the case for quarterbacks winning this award. We said the start of this decade, 2016, it was Dak Prescott, who was thrust into a difficult position in Dallas, but led the Cowboys to 13 wins. 2019, Kyler Murray won the award. 2020, Justin Herbert. Their two teams, the Cardinals and the Chargers, didn't even finish above 500, did not earn a playoff spot in either of those 2 years. Kyler Murray's numbers, though, more than 3,700 passing yards, 20 touchdowns through the air, 544 rushing yards, four touchdowns. Justin Herbert threw for 4,336 yards, the second most by a quarterback in his rookie season ever in NFL history, and tossed 31 touchdowns, the most ever by a rookie quarterback. So Fernando Mendoza is either going to have to lead a Vegas team more than likely to 10 or 11 wins in a divisional crown, doesn't seem very likely, or Fernando Mendoza is going to have to put up the numbers that would outrun some like Jeremiah Love, Carnell Tate, other spectacular wide receivers around this sport. We're not so sure that Fernando Mendoza is going to get the time as the starter for the Raiders to do just that. I think you should be optimistic about what the Silver and Black is building around Mendoza for his NFL career. And despite my love for Fernando, I do not think he is worth a plus 550 ticket tied for the second best price to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the one, the only, Dustin Swedelson. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the futures draft room for the first time. Former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Pakai, and the guru John Hansen. Don't just watch the futures draft, profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th. That's just a few days from now at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And if I know anything about Dustin Swedelson, he is one of the great hosts on this network as well. Live Bet Sunday next.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In this month of August, we get you ready for football late on this Sunday night, August 16th, on Live Bet Sunday. First, a quick update in Major League Baseball. We have gone final in Cleveland. The San Diego Padres handling business against the Cleveland Guardians. The Padres continue to stay scorching hot post All-Star break, and they get a victory today against the Guard. Just making sure it went final at 5-0. Yes, it did. San Diego wins 5-0 against Cleveland in Cleveland. San Diego dropped 5 of its first 7 games after the All-Star break. San Diego has won 17 of its next 22 following this victory against the Guardians. San Diego and Philadelphia now both have a game lead on the Arizona Diamondbacks for the final 2 National League wild card spots. The Chicago Cubs, 5 games in front of both San Diego and Philadelphia. The Cubbies did get beat this weekend and today. They allowed 11 runs to the St. Louis Cardinals at Wrigley. So that's the National League wild card standings as we speak. It's the Yankees, Red Sox, who are comfortably in front of the battle for that third and final spot. The Baltimore Orioles, courtesy of winning all 3 games so far this weekend and a 4-game series in Tampa against the Rays, who are the best team in the American League, who entered this weekend winners of 9 in a row for a second time this year on a 9-game win streak. Baltimore has taken the first 3 of that 4-game set. The O's now have a half-game lead over a bunch of teams in the American League wildcard race as well. 1 zip in Houston between the Mariners and the Astros, bottom of the 2nd. Brian Wu works a clean first inning. Hunter Brown responds with a clean top of the 2nd after allowing a solo shot to Randy Arozarena in the top of the 1st. Seattle got on the board first, still leading 1 zip. Houston was a moneyline favorite entering at minus 119. It is plus 117 now for the Stros. They are the underdog, minus 137 on the other side. We are back to where our pregame total stood at 7.5. And just quickly here, some PGA Tour action, first leg of 3, of course, in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Scottie Scheffler doing Scottie Scheffler things. He wins by 8 today at the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis. He was 1 over through his opening 4 or 5 holes. He only had a 1-shot lead at the time. I remember checking the odds, and it was only minus 240, despite Scottie still being in the front on Sunday. Only minus 240, given the Scottie Scheffler tax that you must always pay. I almost jumped in because it feels like inevitable. And at minus 240, I'll eat some juice to have that number on Scottie Scheffler in front on a Sunday. He then finishes 4 under in his final 18, or for his final 18 holes in this final round, finishes at 17 under par. Again, 8 in front of everybody else, including Siwoo Kim, who finished solo 2nd at 9 under. Scottie, the only guy in double figures in red numbers, and he's at minus 17 for the championship and the victory in the first leg of the FedEx Cup postseason in the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Scottie Scheffler doing Scottie Scheffler things. Scottie's first win in a very long time. He has been near the top of leaderboards, but gets the victory to start off the playoffs on the PGA Tour. Month of August is a football month. We have already heard from those like Kevin O'Connell detailing Kyler Murray's preseason debut for the Vikings yesterday. Small sample size. Fernando Mendoza reacting to his Raider debut on Thursday. There was another guy that went in the top 15 in terms of quarterbacks in the 2026 NFL draft, but it was perhaps the most unexpected. We knew Fernando was going 1 to Las Vegas. We did not think that Ty Simpson was going to be drafted 13th overall by the Los Angeles Rams. It was a stunner. It was followed by drama because Sean McVay did not necessarily seem on board with the pick. You got the reigning NFL MVP and Matthew Stafford. They were a few months away from trading for Myles Garrett, but they already added Trent McDuffie. You were a few plays away from a spot in a Super Bowl and maybe knocking off the Patriots for a second Lombardi trophy, being the NFC runner-ups to your divisional foes in Seattle. Why on earth would you draft a quarterback 13th overall and not be fully all in? Well, maybe, just maybe, the Rams are building for the future. And the backup QB battle in Los Angeles is going to be tightly contested between Stetson Bennett, and that will only be added to after Ty Simpson's performance in Arrowhead yesterday. 21 of 25 for 190 yards and 2 touchdowns. Seemed fully in command of Sean McVay's very intricate orchestration of his offensive system. Here was the Rams head coach detailing his rookie QB's NFL preseason debut.
He took what the defense gave him. You know, I thought he read the plays out, read with his feet. You know, I thought he did a really good job overall. And I thought even on some of the keepers where maybe the primary isn't there, he attacks with the ball up. You know, even on the first one that he had where he ends up finding Max Clair on kind of the late down flat, but hit a couple low crossing routes. You know, and I thought he kept the ball in play. You know, that's the biggest thing, is keeping the ball in play. There was one situation that we'll have a great learning op on a third down where, you know, they kind of played a man coverage. We ended up throwing it to the flat to Max Clair. I got to see. I think the pocket might have allowed him to be able to progress. But otherwise, it was a really good day for him. He just felt like he was in good command, and it was cool to see a good smile on his face.
Ty Simpson absolutely balling out against the Chiefs. Now, again, that was with most of the backups for Los Angeles. The Rams did not play a single starter. Kansas City, a couple of starters, but by that time facing Ty Simpson defensively, we're talking third and fourth stringers, guys that are going to be fighting for special team spots to make the 53-man roster for 2026. All of that is understood. The caveats and the context is absolutely necessary. But you are trying to build optimistically on what felt like a weird draft pick at the time. But as we now know, with the addition of Myles Garrett and trading away first rounders, the Rams are fully invested into this year, but also need to have a plan in place for the future. Is that Ty Simpson? He'll have time to learn and develop behind Matthew Stafford, whether Stafford, who is under contract through 2027, that's next year, decides to play one, two, maybe even more years than that. I would just say it seems as though it would be poetic, right? The Hollywood ending in Tinseltown, in SoFi, in your own home stadium, if on Valentine's Day 2027, Matthew Stafford leads Los Angeles to a second Super Bowl in 5 years, if he were to depart and go toward retirement. Would Ty Simpson be ready to go? Giving you small bits of optimism like yesterday, being fully in command of Sean McVay's system, under center, rolling out, having a strong connection already with the Rams' second-round draft pick of this past April, the tight end out of Ohio State via Purdue, in Max Clair. It looked like a lot of the things that Sean McVay asks of his signal callers, and Ty Simpson put that on display. I get it, against backups, but you're playing the guys you can on the field, and then you must deliver with high-caliber performances, especially if you were the 13th overall pick. Ty Simpson did just that on Saturday, in Arrowhead. Elsewhere yesterday, of course, speaking of quarterback battles, not just between who is going to be a backup, but who's going to be the starter, it rages on in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson gets the start in game number one of the preseason for the Browns. We know Shedeur Sanders is going to start game number two, but Watson started yesterday and looked really solid. 11 of 15, 126 yards, led two scoring drives in the opening half for Cleveland. They got their doors blown off in Chicago, 34-10 by the Bears, but it's a first-year head coach in Todd Monken who has to figure out his quarterback position. Here's what he had to say about Deshaun Watson's NFL preseason performance in Chicago yesterday afternoon.
I mean, it was so cool to watch him play. I mean, I get all of the frustration by fans, himself, but for him to come back and work like he did is an unbelievable credit to him. And then to go out there, he was having fun today. And that is so cool. And I thought he really functioned at a high level. Certainly, we don't want to be taking timeouts. We sure as heck can't take delay games, okay? But it was fun watching him play.
We have not seen Deshaun Watson in a football game since 2024. We have not seen Deshaun Watson look like the guy who was an all-pro contender for the Texans since 2020. A lot of that is self-inflicted by Deshaun Watson and what he has done off the field. Deshaun Watson also was dealing with injuries, two consecutive Achilles tears in the same leg. So to be back out there on Saturday, Todd Monken was very pleased with what he saw in the performances for the Browns. Shedeur Sanders, not exactly so. Threw a very ugly INT to start the fourth quarter for Cleveland. I would say Deshaun Watson is the front runner for this QB job in the land. I'm not sure that I expect many successful offensive things out of a Watson-led offense in 2026. The Browns' win total in the cellar of the AFC North is 5.5. The over has the juice. Cleveland was one of the best defenses in the National Football League a year ago. Fifth best in EPA per play, making it very difficult on opposing offenses to have success and moving the football down the field to add those expected points. That's what EPA stands for, expected points added. And yes, they lost Myles Garrett following a 23-sack historic NFL season. But Jared Verse is really good. He's not Myles Garrett, but he's very, very good. I think the Browns' defense can be rather solid. New defensive coordinator takes over in Cleveland. If the offense could give you something, Cleveland might be competitive. And despite what we saw in the preseason opener in Chicago, I'm still not a big believer in Deshaun Watson, nor frankly Shador Sanders. The quarterback competition rages on in Cleveland. I think much more will be decided following game two when Shador Sanders gets the start. We will continue going here on Live Bet Sunday. I'm Ben Stevens, and I appreciate you being on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.